Howdy, everybody. How you doing? Well, I've been thinking about this one for about 3 months. And it's always tough to put on a presentation about marketing when the technology is changing so fast. But my background, I guess you might say as a kid, I was a pretty weird child. All my buddies had posters of Farrah Fawcett and Kate Jackson, and I even had one friend that went to see King Kong 7 times because he fell in love with Jessica Lange. I was instead reading the Hereford Journal. And every month that magazine would arrive, I'd cut pages out of that book and put them up on my walls in my bedroom. And I can remember 12 or 13 years of age when I would drive home from the field, or Grandpa would drive us home from the hayfield, and I would ride on the tailgate so I could be the first person off the back of the pickup when we pulled into the driveway so I could go check the mailbox for one of those magazines to arrive. And I think a lot of you probably feel that same way. The subject, obviously, is marketing Angus cattle, and covers a lot of country. But I've broken the presentation into four key areas. One is just kind of a general overview. On the first slide about how technology is disrupting what we're doing and also creating new opportunities for what we're doing. Second slide, we'll talk a little bit about just some general philosophies that I have in my approach to advertising and marketing. And then the third slide, I'll get into some specific digital technologies that you should be looking at or using. And then the fourth one is some things just to think about in terms of your traditional marketing practice. So, Scott, we'll see if this thing works here. So, the last 12, 15 years, we've seen a tremendous amount of disruption in our business, in my business as an advertiser and a marketer, with all the new technologies that have come on board. My background as a freelance writer, I spent about 14, 15 years writing and shooting pictures for a lot of magazines, Farm Journal, Beef Today, Range, some of these others. But in the early 2000s, you could start to feel how the world was beginning to change. The dollars were shifting away from print. They were going into the internet. And guys like me who were making money by stringing stories and shooting photos were suddenly coming under pressure. But parallel to that is your world, too. As you grapple with how best to promote your cattle, the whole thing has kind of been turned upside down. So really, there's two types of media and advertising opportunities that are out there, and one is analog, which is essentially print or, I'd say, outdated digital technology. And then digital, which is defined as social media, the internet, mobile platforms, and things like that. And analog is about your existing customers and how you've successfully related to them over the years, and digital is about how you're going to relate with your customers in the future. The key is being in both worlds. I don't think you want to sacrifice being in digital over analog. You've got to be good at both. And there's a lot of choices out there. You don't have to be in everything in the digital world. You don't have to be in everything in the analog world, but you have to be someplace in each of those universes. So these are some of the publications that I used to write for. Back when I was working or living in Steamboat Springs in a little house up in the mountains and writing stories and shooting pictures. But of the three, two of them kind of became inviable market. They were marketplaces that were no longer viable for a freelancer for me. One of them was Beef Today, and at one point that was a publication back in the 90s that would go 80 to 120 pages a month. They had a circulation of about 230,000 subscribers. Today, that magazine is a 16-page insert in Farm Journal. And obviously, as you shrink those print pages up, the need for guys like me diminishes too. American Cowboy was a long-time publication that I wrote for a lot of years. And they shifted their focus from writing and profiling ranchers and people like you to more of a Western style, music, that kind of thing. And they had to go where the money was. The only magazine of the three that stayed in the business was Range, and Range has stayed pretty true to its original mission. But can you imagine losing two-thirds of your bull market, which is what happened to me as a result of of the shift in media. At the same time, as I grappled with the failure of what I had been doing all those years, digital also opened up a lot of unexpected opportunities for me. And I think that's the lesson that you need to take home from what I have to say, is that as all these things come in and disrupt all the stuff that you've been doing, there are huge opportunities for you to reach wider audiences with less money. And I've just got a little video here, the opening segment from I Am Angus, and this gives you an example of how I was able to transition from shooting photographs to video and using my writing skills for scripts.
What if? What if there were no pastures, meadows, or open spaces? What if the grass stopped growing and the cows disappeared? What would happen to the open spaces, the distant vistas, the cultural and environmental landscapes that define who we are?
Not plan. The wonders of technology. You get the idea. That was the opening segment from the August I Am Angus program. So digital and the advent of the digital age, I say, gives with one hand, takes with the other. On the one hand, it devalues what we do. I was a photographer, a professional photographer, made a good living at it. Can you imagine competing with that? It'd be like somebody dropping 25,000 bulls into northeast or northern or upstate New York and expecting somebody to sell them. Everybody's got a camera, everybody's got a smartphone, and everybody's shooting pictures, and all those images are flooding the marketplace. But it also expands your ability to reach, as Debbie was talking about today. Our audience used to be defined maybe by 150 miles from a ranch or a farm, and now I'm assuming that Debbie and other bloggers in here are probably speaking to people all around the planet on a regular basis. So it's just amazing the exponential effect that this has had on our business. This is a specific example of what's happened with technology just in the last 3 years and how fast it's going. We produced a video called The Fitting and Showing Angus Cattle, and in 2008, we burned a whole bunch of DVDs that we distribute to people, and in those 5 years, we've sent out 328 DVDs to interested parties. I have no idea how many places they got played or how large the crowd was, but then in the fall of 2009, we posted the same video on YouTube, 124,000 views and counting. That thing probably generates about 150 views a day. So the world's getting smaller, and there's real opportunities to capitalize on the interest that's out there by using these platforms that are there. So the good news and the bad news. The good news or the bad news is the pace of change is accelerating. And I think we're even seeing that in the DNA technology front. You're almost going through kind of a disruptive effect with the advent of DNA technology, the way that I went through a disruptive period in my life with the advent of digital and the magazine business. But it's also an empowering technology. We now have more tools to work with DNA and to make precise breeding decisions than we've ever had in our lives. So as these things come down the pike that we may perceive as negatives or challenges, we always got to think about how they're actually positive and empowering for our businesses. So this is slide two, and these are just some quotes. The gentleman in the picture there is my grandpa, John Hill. He's a tough old bird. Tough guy to work for, but learned a lot from him over the years, and there's not a day that goes by that I don't think about something he told me. He raised registered Hereford cattle and commercial Hereford cattle in western Colorado for most of his life, and this was his marketing world. This was the stockyards in Denver, and he had one touch point each year with his buyers. He'd hop on the train and bring the cattle over. And he would meet with the potential buyers, and then he'd have a transaction, and then he would go home. My world as a marketer of Angus Genetics looks more like this. And you don't really need to know what each one of those is, but just imagine that one of them's a tablet, one of them's iPhones, one of them's television, one of them's computers, one of them's internet, etc. The little itty-bitty dot in the lower right-hand corner, that's internet-enabled television. I actually think that one's going to be about this big in about 5 years. I think that we're going to be moving away from satellite broadcast and cable broadcast to where you'll be able to go home at night, turn on your television, there'll be a message on your HD screen in your living room or your den, and it'll be from the American Angus Association telling you to click here to watch today's Angus Report. I think that's coming down the pike, and it's coming quick. These are 2012 numbers, but this doesn't include radio or print, so you can see all the different touch points that are out there compared to what it was for my grandpa when he was selling cattle in Denver. It's a bazillion things to do, and each day it's increasing. So shortly before my grandpa died, about 10 years ago, I was visiting with him, and I asked him, I said, what's the one thing you would tell us about what made you successful? And he was quiet for a while, and I was expecting some great, profound statement from him, but he said, you know, when the alarm clock went off, I never hit the snooze button. I got up and I went to work. And that's always stayed with me, and I think it actually applies to this situation in that all these new technologies are taking place, and you can't ignore it anymore if you're not playing in the digital realm or trying with some of these, experimenting with some of these new platforms to promote your cattle, whether it's YouTube or Facebook or whatever. You can't hit the snooze button anymore. You got to keep pushing into it and find out what works best for your own situation. His other saying was, "Don't know what to do next. Know what to do next." And every morning over breakfast, before we go out, I remember he'd go to a quiet place and he'd think about what he was going to do that day. And all of us 13, 14-year-old kids, he'd line us out. And there were very few duplicate efforts. We all know what we were going to do by the time we hopped in a pickup to go to work. And I think it's kind of the same thing here. You all devote a lot of time thinking about your breeding decisions, your financial situations, all those kinds of things, planning those things out. I think it's important that you also invest time in thinking about each day how you're going to market your program and add value to it, but also how you're going to add value to the individual animals within your cattle, within your program. And, you know, the great thing about the digital age, nobody has any of the answers. Nobody knows where this is taking us. So the risks of making decisions and moving forward with, say, a Facebook page or a YouTube page, you don't have a lot of money or asset tied up into those things. But they can pay dividends free in the long term. This is probably my favorite saying that Grandpa gave me, and it's about the time everybody's sitting down. I reckon it's time for me to be standing up. He was a total contrarian his whole life. If the cow market got hot, he sold all his cows, and he knew he had replacement heifers standing behind him. The same thing works here. I think there is a bit of a herd mentality when it comes to advertising and marketing. But there are really great opportunities to take a contrarian approach to all the things you're doing. And that ties back to thinking ahead and where you want to go. Fail forward. This is not my grandpa's quote. This is actually from Tom Field at the University of Nebraska. He runs that entrepreneurial program there at the school. But their saying is fail forward. It's okay to get it wrong. It's okay to mess this stuff up. So long as you're learning from the experiences. And I'll have some examples of how to use this to determine whether you're failing or succeeding. But the important thing is to experiment with these things, analyze. If they're not moving, move on. If they are working, double down on them. I'm just going to skip this video. But the general point is, what underpins everything that you do as a seed stock producer is a story that you can develop behind it. The story of your family, the story of your cow herd, the story of the philosophy of your breeding program. But the story has to be framed in what it means to your customers, not what it means to you. That's important. You always have to approach this thing from the perspective of what your customers expect from you and not what you expect from yourself. So tactics for the digital age. These are some generic things I came up with the other day thinking about what I would do if I were sitting in your shoes to capitalize on some of the emerging opportunities in digital. First one is hire a kid. That's not a blotter photo. It's actually Jeff Meyer, who worked for us for several years. Jeff probably played about as large a role as anybody as getting the American Angus Association onto television. Jeff and I had a lot of late night adventures. We were producing television when we were just getting our feet wet, but he's actually holding a FedEx slip. And we had just driven about 40 miles to Kansas City Airport in a blizzard to get that show shipped. And we arrived 3 minutes before the FedEx door shut down. And just in case anybody was wondering, I took a picture of Jeff with the slip to confirm that it actually happened, and the show aired the following Monday. But the great thing about these kids is that technology for them is more an extension of their own brain. For us, we compartmentalize it. We think in terms of I'm online or I'm going to go get my email. To them, it's just an extension of their body. The internet is their brain. And it's so fluid for them to jump into new software, new programs, et cetera. And it's so inefficient for us to do the same thing. And every small town has a kid just like Jeff who's looking for an opportunity. In a lot of ways, it redefines how we hire kids on ranches. We used to define the worth of a kid or how many bales he could stack in a day or how much wire he could string. There's no way on earth that Jeff would ever get out of bed before noon, and I mean it. But he worked hard. And the reason he didn't get up until noon. In fact, we used to have a sweepstakes at our office guessing what time he was going to come in that afternoon because nobody knew. But most of the time, he'd been up till 3 or 4 in the morning working on Angus projects. It was just the way he approached the world. And Jeff got us to where we needed to be. And one of the great side benefits to this was that he knew nothing about agriculture going in. But we were through the process of him learning television and helping us produce I Am Angus and the Angus Report. He actually gained an appreciation to where he's now an advocate for us. He took a job here a year ago for the Denver Broncos. If you go to Mile High Stadium, he's running the Jumbotron there now. But anybody who ever says anything about beef, he takes it to him. And I appreciate that very much from him. But what I would suggest to find somebody like Jeff to do whatever it is you want him to do, go to your local community college or your high school and find somebody. And but the most important thing for hiring these kinds of kids is to have a plan. Don't let them float. A disciplined plan to whatever you want to do, whether it's Facebook or social media or YouTube or shoot video or edit video, you name it. But kids like that are great assets. The gentleman in this photo is Jay Carlson. He's a salesman for Beef Magazine, and he's always got this little notepad with him, and anytime he has a conversation with anybody, he's writing down names, email addresses, and phone numbers. And the reason he's doing that is he just launched a magazine here a year ago called Beef Vet, and it goes to bovine veterinarians. And they've built basically the entire subscription list off of his conversations, and I think they're up to somewhere around 5,000-6,000 circ right now. But it's really, really critical that you have some ability to capture data about people that are interested in buying cattle from you, their email addresses, their phone numbers, and more importantly, their mobile phone numbers, so that you can reach them and text them and get them when they're on the road. And then the fourth point is to capture information about them, their kids' names, their spouses' names, all those kinds of things, so that it gives you an entree into a conversation with them. Jay's a master at this. He knows more about me than I know about myself. He sends me books just randomly. They'll just appear in a little box, and you know, just he knows things about me, and I'm sure he's treating all of his customers the same way. And what that's done for me with Jay is, you know, he's a good guy. We're going to support his magazine. This is one of my sayings, put some hay in the barn. I think this is absolutely critical for all farms and ranches. Photos and words and video are the currency of marketing and advertising. Most of us tend to want to shoot pictures 2 days before our sale or a month or two before the sale. I would argue that a camera is probably about as important to your business as an ATV or a gooseneck trailer. You've got to have that camera on the dashboard so that you can shoot pictures and document the story of your ranch. And if you don't have pictures, you can't do anything. You can't produce a brochure. You can't have a fresh website. But I would suggest you shoot pictures all the time, every day, to document the progress of your calf crops, document the seasons, what you're doing on the farm, just so that you have those things available. develop a social media presence. Frankly, I don't know a lot about social media. I'm big on YouTube. But as far as Facebook and Twitter, I let somebody else handle that. But the big thing, there's two points that I see mistakes that folks make. Is they launch a Facebook page and they don't stay committed to it. They don't make a plan. Jenna Thompson, who runs our Facebook page, every Monday morning she goes to a little quiet place and she plans out every post for the coming week. So it's disciplined. We know we got something coming out about every three or four hours. And she's constantly giving people information that they need. The other thing is that Facebook and Twitter tend to be kind of domains for self-absorption. And I don't like seeing posts that people make all the times about themselves. If you post something, you've got to make it meaningful to your customers, not about necessarily about yourself. It has 6 billion mobile phone subscriptions in the world today. I think that's roughly represents 85% of the world population. Smartphones are where it's at. I would imagine that within 4 or 5 years that the primary venue for buying and selling cattle will be on something like this. You'll be able to go out in your field, and shoot some video of a bull or a couple bulls, string it together, edit it right on your phone, post it somewhere, and then let people bid just on this kind of mechanism. But everything that you do has to be, you have to be thinking about smartphones. And I'll give you an example of what I mean by that. In putting this presentation together, I Googled world's worst website, and this came up, so I took a picture of it. But one of the mistakes, a simple thing that people do with their websites is that they don't make the information on it clickable for a cell phone, a phone number or an address. And maybe the phone number is baked into the graphic or baked into a photo of some kind. But you have to be thinking about the primary visitors to your website in the next few years will be mobile users. And if you're like me looking at a website, you're looking for the phone number so you can grab it. You're expanding the screen and you click the phone number and away you go. Same thing with the directions, the physical addresses of your ranch or farm so that people can click on the address. It takes them into Google Maps and they know how to get to your place. But the mobile phone impact on websites is just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger as we go on. And then keep fresh hay in it. Again, by that I mean photos, video, etc. YouTube. I love YouTube. I probably spend most of my day with YouTube up just so I can monitor audience engagement on the videos that we're producing. I think the online video is the single biggest and single best way to market cattle. And if I were you, when I get home, I would, if you don't have one now, create a YouTube channel, which is simple as sign up, create a screen name and a password, and then get somebody with a video camera and start shooting pictures of your video of your cattle and post the cattle that you have for sale. A lot of people, when they post their sale cattle for an upcoming sale, they'll put all the cattle in one video. I would suggest you put individual animal videos on your channel. And what's cool about that is as time goes on, you'll be able to see where the interest is, where the money is on your cattle. Some of your individual sale lots might get 40 views, some of them might get 250. But if you know it's 250 on this one and 40 on this one, you know where the interest is. And that can help you a lot in terms of putting your sale order together and determining which genetics people are really looking for. A question I get on occasion is how long an individual animal video should be. I wouldn't make them any longer than 25 to 30 seconds. Remember the mobile phone. You want to make everything as mobile friendly as you possibly can. If they're 25 to 30 seconds long with the calf walking this way, and walking toward you, that's plenty. You don't want to give them too much information. So once you shoot video and you load it up onto YouTube, I do a lot of this. I'll just email links around. I used to manage two cattle sales, one in Colorado and one in Nebraska, and this was pretty much our exclusive advertising campaign. It was an email. We knew specific buyers and what kind of cattle they liked, and we would just send them links to the video and keep them engaged on occasion. So when the videos went up on YouTube, just grab the hot link, drop it an email, and send it off, and they'll click on it and watch it at home. And if they're not watching it, you'll know it because there won't be any views on the video. One of the great things about digital is the data that you get. This is our YouTube channel over the last 4 years. You can see it's kind of moving up and to the right. Those individual spikes are associated with one of two things. When we air I Am Angus, viewership goes up. When we go to cattle shows and put the videos online, viewership goes up. So if you're investing, you know, 10 or 15 or 20 or whatever, thousands of dollars into your sale and driving people to your website, you should be able to look at the data and see whether your investment's actually working or not. If it's not, and you're not seeing those spikes, you probably better look at your approach. The spikes are everything, and you should be able to associate a spike in activity on your website with some kind of investment on your end. So we're going to move back into the analog world here. Just a few tips on just things that I think you as marketers and advertisers should be doing to promote your cattle. Yep, lost my connection. Give it a second. Any questions while that's loading? Y'all asleep? Where's Arlen? He's always got questions for me.
How many videos do you have up on the Angus YouTube?
We have about 1,300. And it's generating about 2,000 views a day. And it's increasing by about 40% a year in overall viewership. So this year, this calendar year, Scott, could you take a look at that and see if that connection's out? If not, I can improvise. I would say next year we'll generate close to 1 million views, and then it just keeps accelerating as time goes on. A lot of it's consumers. Our most popular videos that we have are videos about feedlots. The segments in I Am Angus that we've done about feedlots. And when we post a video about a feed yard, we load up the search terms, feed yard, you know, factory farm, all the things that they use against us. And if you go to Google and just type in feed yard, there'll be a whole bunch of videos from PETA and a whole bunch of ours. So they've got a chance to see something positive every time they use that search term. All right, I don't think it's going to work, so I'm going to just run through it here real quick. Basics. I think one of the really contrarian things that people could be doing right now to market and sell their cattle is to write handwritten letters. If I get a handwritten letter, it comes across my desk or a postcard or something like that, it's the first thing that I pick up. Everything I get is produced by some computer somewhere. And the key, I think, is to be committed to that process and to have a plan, maybe a goal each day to send one card or one handwritten letter to your customer each day. Big one is get off your duff and go see some people. I don't think we spend as seed stock producers enough time with our customers. And I think the more time you get out on the ground and see what these guys are doing to your cattle, and focus on the ones that are maybe on the fence with you. Maybe they had a bad experience with your bull they bought from you, or a couple of heifers or something. But it's an opportunity for you to make things right for them and make adjustments in their breeding program. Color and logos, obviously, color is everything. And an example is John Deere. John Deere and their green and yellow in their farm equipment. And then yellow and black in their road construction equipment. They've gone with two separate colors. Why do you think they went with yellow and black on the road construction equipment? Because that's Caterpillar. Everybody associates those colors. But the more you can build your colors into the things that you do, the better people associate those things with your brand. Let's see. I can barely see this thing here. One of the sales I used to help with, the guy that owned the cattle, he would always get in a mad dash about 3 days before his sale and start picking up the phone and begging people to come to the sale. And we've all been there. You get panicky. But I think that the sales cycle on an individual animal really begins when you breed that calf or you breed that cow. And one of the things that I've tried to do is if I flush a cow, I'll send it out an email or a note to my customer and say, look, that good cow you liked, we bred her to that bull you liked. And we'll let you know here in a few months how we got them settled. So you've started the sales cycle essentially 2 years back from the time you're actually going to sell that animal. And then as that animal or that calf develops, you continue to build the story around that animal up until the time of your sale. And by the time the sale rolls around, you've got them convinced that they need to buy it. Words, who likes to write in this room? I'm a professional writer and I hate it. But words are like photos. You've got to have words and you've got to develop a narrative around what you do. The great things about writing things is that you can peel pieces out of what you've written for letters or for websites or for brochures, but the important thing is to sit down and think about what it is that you do and why it means to the marketplace and write those things down and then get them out publicly. Teach. The big one, I think the most successful seed stock producers I've known over the years are all great teachers, and they're seen as sources for information and trust. And that when they see you, they don't always associate you with trying to sell something, that you're actually there for their interests and that you can give them information to make them more competitive. And then finally, the one thing that most people let slip through the cracks, and this is something we see in our YouTube data, like if you have a cattle show of some kind, you've got about three days to get people to watch that video. And I think it's the same thing with your sale or an event or a field day you may have at your ranch or your farm. If you don't capitalize on that interest within about 3 days' time, you're going to lose them. You can't ever get them to go back to thinking about what you had talked about before. They've moved on. So anyway, the big thing, I think, is going back to the first slide, and that's disruptions. Obviously, the media environment's changing very fast. I would say in 5 years, you know, there's going to be something that's going to come along that's going to replace Facebook. There's something going to come along that's going to replace YouTube. But you constantly need to be pushing out into it and finding ways to capitalize on these opportunities as they become available. And don't be afraid of trying it. Because believe me, if I can recreate my career from where I was a few years ago to where I am today, you can. So, any questions? Arlen? Yep. Well, three things on your website need to be mobile friendly. For starters, a phone number that you can click. How many times have you been on your iPhone and looked at a website and you couldn't click that phone number, right? That's a lost opportunity. You got to be able to click on it. Your email address needs to be clickable. A lot of folks, they'll put the phone number and all your contact information, but they'll put it into a graphic where it's not clickable. Does that make sense? And that's just the first step. Directions to your physical directions or address of your farm. Make it clickable because, you know, this is how I find your farm. And if I go to your website and you got a P.O. box there, that's not going to get me to your house. And if your phone number is baked into a photo that I can't click on, I can't call you. So if I'm driving up through upstate New York and I think I'm going to see four or five Angus guys, and the one guy's got all of his stuff baked into his images and I can't click on it and call, I'm going to go to somebody else and my money's going to go elsewhere. Just little itty-bitty thing like that make a huge difference. Any other questions? Bill. Yeah. No, you can. In fact, I shoot quite a bit of video. I mean, the key is, you know, holding it steady. You don't want to send somebody something that's going like this, you know. But in fact, I have guys that send me iPhone videos all the time of their cattle. It's pretty amazing. And I think in a few years, they're going to be able to edit it right on their phone. They may be able to do it now and send you a full-length feature video of my whole sale offering. You know, just go out in the pasture and just walk around. How do we edit it now? Well, the process is we shoot it, and then we bring it in the computer, bring it in the Final Cut Pro, which is a video editing software, and then we edit it, put the graphics down, et cetera, and then we output, and then we upload it up onto the website. Pretty simple process, and that kind of goes back to my point. It's simple if you know what you're doing, and that's what I mean, hire some shaggy-haired kid like Jeff. He'll treat you right. Yep. And they're, I mean, these kids, I'm telling you, it's just completely seamless. They're all doing video. That's the amazing thing. All these kids, they don't even have interest in doing it professionally, but they're all doing it. They all know how to do it. And if you don't have a comfort level with it, find somebody who does. And, you know, give them a plan. You have to manage them, but it'll take you from here to here pretty quick. Any other questions? Yes, sir.
When it comes to like advertising and wholesale, what kind of balance do you think a person has to have these days between hard copy magazines and the internet?
Well, the great thing about the internet is it really doesn't cost you anything to do it. You know, you can launch a YouTube channel for free. You can launch a Facebook page that doesn't cost you anything. So, you know, in terms of a financial mix, you know, it's kind of your dollars are still flowing to print. I think your print results will be better if you lengthen the sales cycle on individual animals. The example I showed you about when you make those breeding decisions, you're going to use a certain bull to breed your cows. Send an email out or something to the people that you know are interested in those genetics early on at breeding. Just to let them know what's happening. And then when those calves are born or whenever you get your preg check results back in, send them another email. Hey, we got, 70% conception rate on this AI group of cows that we AI'd. Just, But the key is to make it, again, about them. And I'll give you an example. Rather than you just saying, we just bred this cow to this bull, I would say, we had that conversation last month about you needing to fix some of your calving issues. I think this mating is going to help you. So all of a sudden, you've shifted the focus onto the way the customer sees you as a provider of those genetics, rather than you just telling them what you're doing, right? And then if you lengthen that narrative around each of the individual animals or breeding decisions in your herd, then when you push in with your print, it's kind of gravy at that point, Because you're actually selling an animal 2 years in advance. Any other questions? Yes. Yep, and kind of going back to that slide of Jay Carlson, getting that data, putting into a spreadsheet or wherever it is so you have it. But also, it's more than just phone numbers, it's more than addresses, it's more than just names. It's who they are, what do they want, what do they expect from you. So when you call them, you've got a column in your Excel spreadsheet that says their kid plays soccer and his name is Jed, right? How's Jed doing with his soccer? Just creates a conversation so that you're not just calling to sell them something,
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Well, a lot of your email programs are going to allow you to input it right there. So you type in George Smith, his email address is going to come up once that data is in there. once you send him an email, like my email program, if I send somebody an email one time, I've got it captured. But you know, the key, I think, is, you know, targeting when you do it and making those correspondences about the customer. And, you know, it's free. It's cheap. You don't have to lick a stamp. You don't have to go to town. You just sit and just send it out. But it has to be part of your daily activities. You have to find a way every day to add value, not just to your brand, not just to your farm or ranch, but to every animal you want to sell in your program. There has to be a plan for that.